The regal jumping spider has those signature big round eyes that make this arthropod kind of cute. But if you watch them long enough, you might see that there's thoughts behind those black pearls. Jumping spiders have tiny brains, but why do they seem to do a lot more mental processing than other tiny arachnids? Sometimes even a spider has to think about life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a tiny brain with some big thoughts, but more on that later.
I can totally relate. I have such
big...
Our brains are pretty big.
As humans, our brains are pretty big, yeah.
Compared to our bodies.
Yeah.
But still, big thoughts. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the regal jumping spider.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also known as the royal jumping spider. The regal jumper or the king jumping spider. But we're going to call it here, brains over LeBron and Peter Parker's precious, precocious protege. Sorry. I guess it's precious also. Peter Parker's precious, precocious protege. And who nice. Picked a peck of pickled peppers. This spider is exactly like the Lucas the Spider spider from mm-hmm. Lucas the Spider. So I'm... already endeared to it. But should we taxonomize it first?
Okay. Yeah. Let's taxonomize it.
All right. It's in a kingdom you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda. I feel like we spent a lot of time in Arthropoda recently. The subphylum is the linguistic balm of Chelicerata.
Mm-hmm.
The class is Arachnida, because it's a spider, it's an arachnid. The order is Araneae, so it's, well, just because it's an arachnid does not make it a spider. There are other arachnids like mites and scorpions and things, but it is, Araneae puts it into the spider order. The family is Salticidae. The genus is Phidippus, and the species is Regius. So the binomial nomenclature is Phidippus Regius, which brings us to the listener's favorite part of the show and my favorite part of the show, nitty gritty nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Phidippus Regius? Which just sounds like a Pokemon, but...
Okay.
Does Phidippus Regius mean A, crowned jumping weaver, B, kingly creator of strong structures, C, royal one who spares horses, or D, regal spider who lives in a palace?
I guess regal spider who lives in a palace. Phidippus can't mean all of that stuff.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
The answer is C, royal one who spares horses.
Not a chance.
In Greek, phaedomai is to spare, and hippos is horse, like the hippodrome. So putting those together, that is Phidippus. And that was the name of a Greek general who spared the horses.
He spared the horses.
And that's what he is the most known for. Such the opposite of Napoleon.
So the binomial name is Greek and Latin? Because Reggie is Latin.
Well, yeah, the binomial name is, but that single word is Greek, and then the last one would be Latin, yes.
If you would have said true king, I would have thought that, because, like, fidelity.
Yeah, but that would have been with an F.
Oh, you see, I'm not looking at it.
Or you're just hearing it. Oh, okay.
I'm just hearing it.
Good to know. Good to know for future ones that you can't see them.
I should look it up.
The spelling.
I could. When I'm doing it, I obviously have it in front of me. But
yeah. It's weird that hippo is horse in Greek. I think we've talked about it when we did the horse or did the hippo.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot remember what the story was behind that, but. Yeah, is the royal one who spares horses, which you got to give it to the spider. At least he spares the horses.
Clearly, he does.
He has the horses in a chokehold, and he says, "Nope, I'm sparing the horses."
So, in reality, this guy was probably just named after the general.
Yes, Pheidippus is a Greek mythological creature figure from the Iliad.
They named it after the general to save some time.
Yes, that sounds like a reference that I'm not it's scratching the bell in the back of my head, but it's not ringing it. Is that from the general like flooring
commercial?
Yeah,
it's not flooring; it's insurance.
Oh, insurance. Yeah,
but yes,
to save some time. But yeah, you want to know about what this guy looks like?
Sure do.
It falls squarely in the cute spider territory. If you have ever seen Lucas the Spider, which is if you don't have small children, you have no reason to ever do so and shouldn't do so for your own sanity. It's actually not that bad, but yeah, this is him. It is cute as a spider can be. It is covered in dense velvety hairs, making it look like a stuffed animal. It is usually black with these brilliant white spots and stripes, but it comes in a wide variety of flavors, including orange, gray, tan. You'll find all kinds of different pictures online. I tried to weed out which ones seemed real and which ones seemed not real, because it seems like this thing is iridescent. Like, it is blue and green and bright orange and purple, and it has green eyes, and many of these seem doctored, but the ones that seem the least doctored, with just, you know, a normal black-eyed spider, it's like a kind of a tan with orange and black markings, but very distinct kind of heart-shaped spots on its back lined with black. So it does look like, you know, it does have those hearts on its back, and it is definitely sending those hearts straight to you because it loves you. Females are often larger and chunkier, while males tend to are more likely to have those brighter colors. They have 8 eyes because they're spiders, but the 2 front eyes are much bigger than the rest, which give it that cute look. It's like people have plushies of this kind of spider. It has thick, sturdy front legs that help it grab prey. And it doesn't build webs to capture its prey. It is a jumping spider. It is built for stalking, pouncing, strutting its stuff. He's a small boy.
Mm-hmm.
How small is he?
Great question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show that When we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family, it's also part of the show that is introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week. We don't, but that means we get to hear from an animal. And I'm not even going to, you know who this is, but without further ado, the listeners part of the show.
My,
you know, he my, says his own name there.
My fight or flight kicked in right there.
Yes, it is Lucas the Spider, because Lucas the Spider is a jumping spider. Yeah. It's this kind of spider.
That show has an interesting animation style where, like, everything is like shot on set, like actual props, and then they animate over top of it. But the rendering is good enough to where, like, it fits, it melds in together. So for a while I was like, wow, like the background rendering is really good. This is like really lifelike. And then I realized it was just, they were just filming props and then animating things.
It was like a viral YouTube series before the show, I guess.
Was it?
It was like, yeah, like little shorts.
Oh, well, they got their own Netflix show.
Spider. Nice.
And it is one of the less I'd say offensive, not actually offensive, but just like more tolerable kid shows. So I'll give it to them.
Does it teach you about spider things, or is it not edutainment?
It is not. It kind of is. It doesn't really teach you that much about spider things.
Well, edutainment, like any kid show is, where it's like, be nice to each other.
Yeah, it's more that. It's not right. It's not so much like, here's let's learn about
nitty-gritty
spiders. He has friends, like the chihuahua that lives in the house is his friend. He has a fly for a friend, which is weird because there's definitely a power imbalance in that friendship. And then there's a chameleon that's also a friend, so there's an inverse power imbalance there. So none of these people should be friends, but they are, and I think that maybe that's the moral.
Unlikely friendships can be the most rewarding.
Don't eat your friends.
Yeah. Let's talk about their size. Females are slightly larger than males. They're about 12 to 22 millimeters in body length, or was a half inch to almost 0.9 inches. So like there are much smaller jumping spiders than the regal jumping spider, but it's still pretty small.
Maybe why it's regal.
The Georgia peach is a famous symbol of the U.S. state of Georgia. The state produces over 40 commercial varieties, including Clingstone and Freestone peaches. True or false? 4 regal jumping spiders go into a Georgia peach in diameter.
In diameter.
The Georgia peach's diameter, not the diameter of the spider.
That would be a big peach. I don't think so. I think the answer is false.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Correct answer is true.
Ah, those are big peaches.
The average diameter of a Georgia peach is 2.5 to 3.5 inches.
A 3.5 inch peach. That's a baseball right there.
Yeah. It's 8.9 centimeters. Yep.
Or like big peach. Like a grapefruit.
When was the last time you had a peach?
Like 2 weeks ago, we got a bunch of them. They're
I feel like a 2.5 inch peach is what I'm used to.
Yeah, like a small
maybe
apple.
Three is a little bit. Yeah, the upper end is pretty big.
But I guess I've never like had a Georgia peach or gone to Georgia and gotten a peach. I just get them from the store here. Or
right. I'm assuming our peaches are from Georgia. But who knows?
We can make peaches. They don't all can have we? To be from Georgia. All of our peaches are from Georgia. All of our potatoes are from Idaho. All of our lobsters are from Maine. If any of those states secede from the Union, an entire food supply will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let's talk about males. Males are about 16 to 18 millimeters. I wrote 6 to 8. Maybe it's that wide of a jump, but
six to 18 millimeters.
Yeah. But the other one was 12 to 22, so that's a 10-millimeter jump. So males are about 18 millimeters or 0.7 inches in body length. The average Florida orange weighs about 140 grams. It takes about 3 to yield 8 ounces of juice. But the famous Honeybell orange can be larger. They're actually rare. They're a hybrid of Dancy tangerines and Duncan grapefruit. You know, everyone's favorite orange is a mix between two other things.
We have entered into uncharted territory here.
Yeah. They're only grown along the Indian River and available for a few weeks in January. So if you want to try one of these, the window is small. So true or false, 8 spiders go into the Honeybell orange diameter.
Was that like 5 inches, 5-6 inches?
Yeah, no grapes or fruit.
I mean, I guess, sure. I'll say true. It seems like a really, really big, like grapefruit-sized orange-ish thing. Yes.
Final answer?
Yes, true.
The correct answer is false.
Ugh.
0 for 2. The average diameter of a Florida orange is 2.6 to 3.3 inches. Honeybells are up to 4 inches, 10 centimeters.
That doesn't seem that big for an orange. It seems big for a peach, but not big for an orange.
Huh. Well, all I said was that it was. It can be larger than the average Florida orange.
All right.
So it might not be the biggest orange in the world. I do feel like I've had bigger oranges than 4 inches. 4 inches? Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've had.
Yeah.
4 inches, not even. What's a softball in diameter?
Probably something similar.
Let's go to the research machine. The diameter of a softball. It's only 3.8? Wow. Okay. Maybe the diameter of a round surface is hard to imagine.
The research machine is the most steampunk way to refer to your computer. It's also the most like Adventures in Odyssey way to refer to your computer.
The imagination.
Come on, kids. Let's go to the research machine. Let's type our question into the research machine and see what answers it gives us. And you have to pull like a lever.
It sounds like something Professor Farnsworth would invent.
Yes, the research machine. He's a scientist.
Yeah. That's okay. 0 for 2 on that. Better luck next time.
That was bad. That was rough. I don't know my fruits. I don't know my very specific breeds of fruits.
Have you seen the YouTube or the video of the guy who's like doing a live stream and people keep asking him if he's had a fruit, like a particular fruit, like a durian or something? And he keeps saying like, yeah, I've had every fruit. And they're like, what about like a Japanese star fruit? And he's like, yeah, man, if you're asking me if I've had a fruit, I've had it. I've had every fruit. And like he's getting increasingly frustrated that people keep asking him if he's had fruit, but he keeps making this incredible claim that people want to test out.
Well, I mean, it's you can't disprove it, right? You can ask him all day and he can just sit there and say, I've had every fruit until he's blue in the face and no one can say he hasn't.
But he's not like boasting. He's trying to talk about other stuff. And he's just like, oh yeah, I've had every fruit.
No, and then he realized he put his foot in his mouth. He's like, am I going to out myself as a liar? Or am I going to hold to this? Hold. Yes, I've had every single fruit. I even had that fruit that you're eating right now. I've had it. That exact one. I've had every fruit.
No, but it just comes off as a guy who's like, why don't you believe me? He doesn't understand that this is incredible to people. And he's just like, no, I've had every fruit. If you're asking me if I've had a fruit, I've had it.
No, like, I haven't even had every type of fruit. I have had every fruit. Yeah. That orange that are eating, I have already eaten it. You can't eat it because it's already in my stomach.
Yeah, the phrase, I've had every fruit.
Impossible. Because there are.
But that's all.
There are unhad fruits in the world.
That's true.
All right. There are also poisonous fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Like berries and stuff. So.
No, he's had them.
I'm dubious. Let's do some fast facts before we get to the major fact. You have mentioned some southern states. This is where this real jumping spider lives. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. All throughout the southeastern United States. Also in the Bahamas and the Caribbean islands. The Caribbean islands.
How'd they get there?
It jumped.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good jumper. Island hopping. Literally. They like sunny areas, obviously. They like shrubs, tree trunks, gardens, fences, sides of houses. They like to hunt in broad daylight. They eat tiny insects, flies, mosquitoes, moths, beetles, caterpillars, even other spiders, smaller spiders. Like I said, they don't spin webs. They use their better than average eyesight to stalk prey. And then they jump up to 50 times their body length with no warm up. They just, what would 50 times my body length be? I'm basically 6 feet tall. So
50 times six.
Six times 50. I can't even do that math in my head. I'm too tired.
300.
That's correct. It's just, that would be like me jumping 300 feet. 3 foot, no, 1 football field. 1 football field in length. Almost said 3.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some of the sharpest eyesight of any spider, thanks to their very large front eyes. They can judge distance very well. Like many mammalian predators can. Using binocular vision. Males perform elaborate dances. They wave their colorful front legs and in order to attract mates. Just because they don't spin webs does not mean that they can't create silk. They do create silk. They will just use it as a bungee.
Mm-hmm.
They'll leave a safety line. They'll attach a little bit, the one end to the whatever they were standing on. And then in case they miss, because, I mean, goodness, the chances of missing are pretty high. They'll just, bungee down there to the bottom of their safety line and then climb back up and, I guess, try again.
This week at church, I was emptying the trash cans and a little jumping spider jumped out as I was lifting the lid and it had the safety line and it just ended up dangling and it just dangled there. I'm like, oh no, did it die? But it was just like dangling motionless. And, I was like, what happened to it? Why is it? No, it's not dead because when they die, they like, their hydraulics fail and their legs crawl up.
He just died of embarrassment.
He was just frustrated.
He was just embarrassed.
Yeah.
He's like, just...
But I left and came back and he was gone.
He's like, just kill me. This might, you might as well. What am I going to do? Climb up this thing and try again? I was trying to kill you.
Yeah. I don't know. I try to look those up. In the ones that you see, I see at least all the time. Tiny little jumping spiders like can fit on the end of your pinky.
Yeah,
smaller than the end of your pinky.
I saw one yesterday.
I think they're the I'm not sure. Every time I look one up in a South Florida jumping spider, the dimensions are too big. So
maybe we're just seeing the babies.
Yeah,
adolescents.
Maybe.
Maybe the adults are too smart to get caught.
But I feel like every one of those has been the same size, and it's always pretty consistent. But it could be the...
Is it the Mexican jumping spider?
No. Mexican jumping bean? I don't know. But if you look up Florida jumping spider, the regal shows up quite a lot.
There are Mexican jumping spiders.
Is it the gray wall jumping spider?
This looks like the one that I see a lot.
Which one?
The Mexican jumping spider.
Look up gray wall.
Habernatus mexicanus. It doesn't have its dimensions though, but this coloration looks very familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone tell me. Anyway.
So the regal jumping spider is mostly solitary, outside of mating. They are easy prey for lots of different animals like birds, lizards, frogs, praying mantises. Bigger spiders, wasps. They usually live for about 1 to 2 years in the wild. Females tend to live longer than males. And I'll leave it at that.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm obviously calling this a major fact. Tiny brain, big thoughts. Jumping spiders in general, this one, but also just jumping spiders in general, seem to be much smarter than the average arthropod. And one of the biggest surprises is that jumping spiders show smarts with an incredibly small brain, which is well under a milligram. So rather than adding more neurons, having a ton of neurons like we do, they seem to just have produced highly specialized neural circuits that efficiently solve problems that they need to solve without having a big brain. So how smart are they? In 2016, a study found that they can plan a route to prey before they start moving. The researchers placed each spider on top of a tower where they could see two possible paths. One winding walkway eventually would lead to prey, while the other one led to a dead end. Because the platform was surrounded by water, which these predators avoid, the only way to reach the prey was to commit to one of the two paths. So the important part of the experiment was that once the spider left the tower, they could no longer see the prey. So they have to remember that their goal is. And to succeed, the spider had to remember where he had seen the prey and select a correct path in advance, then come down from the tower and go to it. All 15 species, they tested 15 species, and all 15 species chose correctly. More often than you would expect by chance. So like it wasn't a hunt, like they weren't getting it right every single time, but it couldn't just be, it wasn't just like a flip of the coin.
Somewhere between 50 and 100.
Right. So in many cases, the spiders walked past the incorrect path to get to the correct one. So they're resisting the temptation to take the first available route and try it out. And just, and in order to go to the correct path. So they're looking, they're using those peepers to figure out a way.
Have they tried this with other spiders? Do they have a control group?
I don't know if they had a control group of a non-jumping spider. But not, it would be difficult. If you put an orb weaver in there, they would weave an orb. You know, like,
or maybe like there's not... like a wolf spider, another like ground hunting spider, something that would need to get to prey.
Right. That would be interesting because they're wolves, like other spiders that are not jumping spiders, either, you know, ambush their prey. Like the tunnel web spider? Is that what it's called? Spiders that hang out inside a hole and ambush prey. They build a web, or they rely on chemicals like a centipede would. Centipede isn't like hunting like a leopard. It's just following chemicals and scents and signals, and it'll find something.
Yeah, much easier than using your eyes.
Right. So they hunt in a very unique way. So I would imagine it would be difficult to have a one-to-one comparison with other stuff. But anyway, we've talked a lot about the need to be careful approaching mates for when you're a spider, because females mistake them for prey. I forget what the orb weaver we just talked about, that males are very careful going onto a web because they'll mistake, the female might just eat you. But in 2025, researchers repeatedly introduced regal jumping spiders to the same unfamiliar spider using a transparent barrier that prevented physical and chemical contact, leaving vision as the only way to like look or observe the other spider. And they found that they seem to recognize individuals. They measured how much they pay attention to each other. At first, the spiders spent a ton of time observing an unfamiliar individual. As they saw the same spider over repeated trials, their interest declined. Habituation. You know, like, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like.
They hated them because familiarity breeds contempt.
Right, exactly.
It's like, look at my soulmate over there.
More like, I don't need to investigate that. That's a known entity. So when the researchers substituted a different individual of the same sex, the spider's attention immediately increased again. So this dishabituation showed that they noticed a change wasn't just another spider, but a different spider. So the team also tested memory by separating encounters by both short and long intervals. Even after these delays, the spiders still responded differently to a familiar versus an unfamiliar spider. So showing that they are retaining memory of specific spiders rather than simply just becoming tired of looking at spiders in general.
You know? I'm just so sick of spiders.
Right. So they seem to recognize individuals, which is not common for arthropods, bugs. They also might be dreaming. So a 2022 study investigated whether jumping spiders experience something similar to rapid eye movement sleep, REM, REM sleep.
They don't have eyelids.
It's a sleep stage that can be associated almost exclusively with birds and mammals so far. The researchers filmed resting spiderlings through the night using infrared cameras. During otherwise motionless periods, they observed regular bouts of rapid retinal movements along with body twitches, leg curls, and occasional movements of the silk spinning organs, so that when they dream, they're dreaming of silk. They're building they don't build webs. These episodes happened at predictable intervals, becoming longer and farther apart as the night progressed, which is a pattern strikingly similar to REM sleep cycles in humans and other animals. Between the active periods, the spiders remained still and quiet in a resting state, like you would be when you're sleeping in between REM cycles. So it could mean that jumping spiders are either entering a REM sleep like state, but the researchers were very careful not to claim that spiders are actually experiencing dreams or human like sleep. But they argue that the combination of rhythmic retinal movements and coordinated muscle twitching represents a distinct phase of sleep. Like, it's not just, you know, inactivity versus wakefulness. That, like us, they have phases of sleep, very similar to REM.
I did not know that they could move their retinas independent of their bodies. I thought the whole point of having, like, literally eyes all around your head was so that you didn't have to do that. Like, you know how, like, cats... I'm fairly certain, I may be totally wrong on this, but I'm fairly certain that cats can't move their eyes, their eyes within their eye sockets. They have to move their face in order to look at different things.
Interesting. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a cat do like a wall eye like a dog does.
Yeah. I don't think that they can. I should probably look it up, but
it must be very minimal for a spider, but movable eyes are extremely rare among arthropods, so jumping spiders provide a very unique opportunity to observe the eye movements of an arthropod. Like, you wouldn't be able to do this test with other bugs, because they can't move their eyes. But speaking of jumping spider eyes, they did another study about their vision, and it seems like they have 360 vision with those multiple eyes, and each set of eyes around the head are for a different purpose. So they're not seeing equally with all sets of eyes. Like, one of them might just be light and dark. Another one might just be movement. And the front ones are for observation.
Got it.
But
also, cats can move their eyes. It's just a lot more limited than dogs or humans.
Gotcha. So why are they seemingly processing more mentally than similar insects and bugs and arthropods and arachnids? Here are some possible reasons. Advanced vision, like we've been talking about, creates a demand for a bigger mental toolbox. So most spiders are ambush predators, waiting, like we said, but jumping spiders use their vision to hunt down prey. So advanced vision comes with enhanced neural processing for recognizing objects, distance estimation, and memory, and attention, and decision-making. If you're moving through the jungle looking for prey, you're thinking more than you would be if you're just, like, following a chemical trail.
I would think that the bolus spider would also have a big smarts. The one that throws, that makes a bolus out of its silk and chucks it at things.
Because it has to measure distance?
Because it has to, like, lead targets and, yeah, measure distance and...
Unless it's not that good at it. Maybe it only does that when if they're at a certain distance.
Still, like... That's,
maybe it's, like, triggered at a certain distance.
That's a lot more... I guess. Like, a frog isn't necessarily all that smart. And it has to accurately pinpoint things with its tongue.
Right. Another... it could be that hunting like this requires planning instead of reflexes. The detour experiment, the two-path experiment, shows that jumping spiders plan out paths specifically to reach prey. So their style of active hunting might require more decision-making. Again, other active hunting arthropods might just be following chemical signals, but jumping spiders are using their peepers to look for prey and get to prey. And then there's also the fact that they hunt very dangerous prey. So jumping spiders are quite small, usually, and they, especially compared to the things they hunt, which can include orb-weaving spiders, they will jump into a web to eat a spider. That seems like the opposite of everything you'd think any animal would decide to do, unless you're way bigger than a bird.
Well, if you're a spider, you don't get stuck in the web.
Yeah, imagine you have immunity to web.
Yeah. You drink that potion.
But hunting down dangerous game requires mental processing. Should you make that leap or stay hungry and live to fight another day? Is that spider in the web sufficiently distracted, looking the other direction, or am I leaping into the jaws of death? So there's this like judgment call requirement for jumping spiders might be requiring them to develop mental faculties beyond their station, if you will.
But beyond their clearance level?
Yeah, beyond their clearance level. But there's a video by on YouTube by Stephanie Salmon. And it goes into a lot of detail about the science behind this jumping spider intelligence and also their vision, all that stuff, like what each set of eyes are for. So
that's pretty cool.
There's a lot. There's more to be. I put a link in the ldtaxonomy.com. But yeah, that's that. They're smart cookies.
I would love to eat a cookie, smart or not.
Have you ever like put your finger down like next to one of those little jumping spiders, and it'll turn around and look at you?
No, I remember playing with them a lot. When I was a kid, and we would sit in like fourth or fifth grade and wait in line to go inside and stuff like that. We would sit outside in this covered area, and there was always a few of those little jumping spiders. We would put them on our fingers and whatnot. I don't know if they, I didn't test if they would just look at me if I put my finger down though.
If you put your finger behind them, they'll like spin around to look at you rather than just, well, sometimes they'll just run away, but sometimes they'll spin around to look at you to assess what that is. Which is it. And sometimes those little guys I've noticed like will run to a crevice or a crack.
Yeah.
But think about any other insect or spider that size and you go near it, it's going to run. It's just going to flee. It's unthinkingly remove itself, but specifically finding a crevice or something, that's like like what a lizard would do, or something bigger.
That's what I think of a lizard.
Something more, yeah, like sophisticated would do. So they, I guess I do think, I see it. I see experientially that they seem very different in terms of decision making.
It is not very evolutionarily advantageous to turn around and look at something that has just landed behind you if you're a tiny spider. It is pretty advantageous to use that, you know, 50 times my body length jump that you have, you know, tucked away in your back pocket.
Well, they'll just do that too. They'll do that too, as in the case of the trash can spider that I found. Just jump, get the heck out of there.
Directly into your open eyeball, if it can.
I think maybe it's because they're in hunting. They're thinking, like, if it's sufficiently far enough away from me, I'm going to turn around and, can I eat that? Okay, no. I'm gonna assess and get the heck out of here.
Hesitation is defeat in the bug world, though. Yeah. That's all you got?
That's all I got. Maybe do spiders dream of silk sheep?
Of electric silk.
Yeah.
And the fact that they experience some like form of REM is crazy.
So REM is when you're repairing neurons. So
that's what some say. Others say that it's just to warm your brain up. Like it's not you dream to because your brain your body and your brain go into like it's their lowest temperature at stage four sleep, and then you hit REM and it warms you back up, and then you kind of start the cycle over again.
But I guess it would be interesting. Well, sleep in general repairs your neurons, so maybe it's not. We don't know what. But it would be interesting if you've got sophisticated neurons, you need a dream. But do lizards and like stuff like that?
We need to cure sleep. It's a waste of time.
No, that's great.
What are we doing with it? I mean, it feels good, but like I could get so much more done if I could just Beethoven my way through life, or Mozart, or whichever one of those like slept 2 hours a night, or
Trump.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you can't say he doesn't get things done, and I guess because he sleeps less.
Yeah, no matter what you think of him,
he definitely gets stuff done.
He's doing things.
And it's all thanks to sleeping less. So we need to focus some efforts on sleep, but like, do I have to sleep a whole 8 hours? That's a lot of time. Every day, that's a third of your life. When you reach the ripe old age of 90, you will have spent 30 years asleep. If you slept enough.
If we didn't have to sleep, though, would you have more free time, or would you have to work more? Would like your employer, would the economy be built on like maybe like 12-hour work days?
Yeah, talk to a nurse. That their economy is based off 12-hour work days.
True.
But yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay. For you, that was the regal jumping spider for you out there in Podcastia. You might as well jump. Always remember to spare the horses. And solve basic puzzles even if you have a tiny, tiny brain. Like the regal jumping spider here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
Do your Wordle. I don't care how stupid you are.